From the studios of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our relationship with it. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak. Thanks for tuning in.
And joining us now is Jordan Clayton. He's a data collection officer and supervisor with the Utah Snow Survey and the Natural Resources Conservation Service. Jordan, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Well, you recently released May's Water Supply Outlook Report for the state of Utah. How are things looking?
Unfortunately, things are looking pretty grim. This is one of the most dire water supply outlook reports that we've published in recent years because of the combination of very poor snowpack conditions that have been combined this year with really dry soils that are soaking up a lot of that available water coming out of the snow, and reservoirs that are below where we want them to be, and precipitation that's not where we want it to be, and all those things are combining to give us a rather dismal forecast for our summer water availability.
Well, let's start with the first kind of piece of that puzzle that you mentioned, which is the snowpack. Where did we land at the end of the snow season this year?
Yeah, we were pretty poor, to put it mildly. Well below average snowpack. I think at the peak it was around 70%. I'd have to look back at the peak numbers, but we were well below normal for our peak conditions, and then things deteriorated pretty rapidly in the month of April, where we were already below average, and then we received, I think, about 68-60% of normal precipitation in April. And so by the time the end of April came along, which is normally a wet month for us, we see two things happening typically in April. One is that kind of mid to lower elevation snowpack sites tend to start to melt out, but the higher elevation sites will a lot of times continue to accumulate. Maybe it'll melt a little bit, accumulate a little bit based on what's happening because of those spring storms. And we just didn't get the spring storms like we normally would. So as of the beginning of the month, the snow water equivalent, the amount of water that's stored in Utah's snowpack, was in the mid-50s in terms of percent normal. But as of today, it's closer to 32%. Ooh. It's really taken a nosedive because we just haven't seen, again, the replenishment that we need, and conditions have been very warm.
And when you say 32%, that's 32% of some long-term normal, as you define normal?
Yeah, thanks for clarifying that. Yeah, it's compared to a 30-year climatological normal. Those windows are changing. We talked about that actually last time I was on the show.
Right.
So those windows are changing, but we're still right now comparing against the 1981 to 2010 30-year normals.
Okay. So then the kind of the second piece of this, it sounds like, is because we have super dry soils, the snow as it melts isn't running off as much, and more of it is sort of replenishing those mountain soils and never even maybe reaching the streams and the reservoirs. Is that right?
That's precisely correct. Yeah, that's exactly what we were concerned about through the winter. When we saw how dry the soils were, I think we talked about last time, and I'll repeat again, through the winter months and into early spring, the soil moisture levels across the state of Utah were off the charts low. We just hadn't seen anything like that in our 20 years of observations. And obviously there's some regional variation there, but by and large, this was the statewide picture. And now recently, if you look at the soil moisture levels right now, they look great. You might think things are fine. Well, that's the problem, is that all that water that's replenishing the soils right now is coming out of the snowpack. And normally what would happen is the soil moisture would get to the point of saturation. The excess would go into the streams and start to fill up our reservoirs and help, downstream areas. We're just not seeing that. You pull the U.S. Geological Survey webpage and look at the statewide stream flow levels in the state right now in Utah, and there's been very little response to the melting snow, where normally you'd see this time where rivers rise. I mean, this is what we expect this time of year, and it's just not. Obviously, we're seeing a little bit of an increase, but by and large, we're just not seeing the normal response that we would get to that melting snow.
I'm visualizing a sponge. The difference between a wet sponge and a dry sponge, as you pour water over it, that's what soil is acting like right now. It's a dry sponge, and so it's going to take that water first, and less of it's going to run off. So let's continue that thing with respect to streams. Stream flows are down across the state.
Stream flows are down, yeah, and the sponge is a nice analogy. It's actually the tool that I used to use in my hydrology classes, so it's really accurate.
Right.
But yeah, so what we're already seeing is a very minimal stream flow response to the snow that's already come off our snowpack, and like I say, we're already down to only about 32% of normal for our snowpack. When we look at our projections, the NRCS and the River Forecast Centers with NOAA both provide water supply forecasts for the April through July runoff period. And those tend to focus on what is the overall volume of water that we expect for all these different measurement points based on, you know, again, the snowpack, the precipitation, and any other kind of information that can help build that picture a little bit more completely. The forecasts are really dire for that April to July period, looking at for some basins, flows expected in around the 20% of normal range, others even lower than that. The one area that's a little bit better is the Wasatch Front, and by better, I mean we're in the 50 to 65% of normal range, so we're still really low. But when compared to the rest of the state, where everything is below 50%, the Wasatch Front does stand out as a little bit of a better area.
I'll say that the report, just kind of a note for our listeners, the report has a lot of great visualizations of the areas and the trends that Jordan is talking about. So it's actually pretty fun to take a look through it. It's not too filled with scientific lingo. There's lots of great sort of visuals and straightforward information in there.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. And I should say, I just this morning was able to publish the latest version. The report that you're talking about is now on our webpage. And so if folks just Google Utah Snow Survey, you can find all this information that we're talking about.
Fantastic.
Utah Snow Survey. Okay.
All right. So jumping back, right, the next logical piece of this is then, what is this lower stream flow, lower runoff mean for our reservoirs? Like, as we go into this season, it seems as if levels are already a little bit depleted from last year. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. We're down about 15% from where we were last year. Normally, this is the time of year that the reservoirs come up a little bit because obviously they're seeing the snow melt. There's not a lot of active withdrawal. There's not, you know, a lot of serious transpiration yet this time of year. And so we tend to see water levels in reservoirs and area streams, base levels, all those kinds of things come up. And we are seeing that. And so, you know, definitely there's been gradual increase in many areas. Other areas are already drawing down reservoirs for irrigation and certain needs. So we're at about 69% of normal right now. 69% of normal for comparison is about, again, 15% of normal, 15% less than where we were last year. And last year wasn't great either, but last year we had benefited from the previous winter's snowpack, which was pretty good. Now we've had a couple of years in a row, and particularly this year, where things are pretty poor. And so the alarming thing is we can anticipate folks are going to need the water from those reservoirs for irrigation, municipal purposes, and everything else. But we need to get those reservoirs replenished. And, you know, the larger ones, we're talking about Flaming Gorge and Powell and some of the other, you know, really large storage areas are expected to go way down. Lake Powell might see its new record low this year.
Wow.
Well, okay. All right.
Our eyes are wide.
You're listening. So negative.
No. You're popping in and out, but we heard that one loud and clear. But also, May is still kind of considered a wet season month. I mean, we could still see some precipitation until things really kind of dry out or stay dry starting in June, right? I mean, there's still some chance that we could still see some high elevation snow and lower elevation rain.
That's correct. And that's where the challenge of forecasting comes, because you you obviously have no way to know exactly what additional precipitation is going to fall during the period that you're forecasting for. So the forecasts are for April through July, and then obviously we can get May precipitation or not, and that'll impact whether or not those forecasts were accurate. But certainly we can get some of that high mountain snow. We just got a little dusting yesterday, and that'll help. Another thing that'll help is the monsoon. If we could get the summer monsoon back in any kind of significant fashion, we don't tend to get a lot of water supply from the monsoonal rain that comes in the summer. But what that does do is it diminishes our withdrawals. So folks have to take less water out, again, for irrigation that's raining. And if soil moisture has come up a little bit. So, again, most of our water, 95% of our water, comes from that winter snowpack and everything that happens during the winter months. But we still see a benefit from the monsoon. The cooling temperatures and the additional moisture help us to take less out of our reservoirs, and that can wind up being critically important during a year like this.
I know this is a little bit outside of your area of research, but can you tell us a little bit about that monsoon weather pattern that we hope to see in the summer?
I should say that is outside my area of expertise. We hope to see throughout the state, but it's particularly pronounced in southwestern Utah, is that additional moisture that'll help build convective precipitation. This is that kind of afternoon storm that may be a bummer for a hiker, but it's really important from a water supply perspective. And that, again, tends to be most pronounced in the southwest. In fact, in the southwest corner of the state, that number that I said, 95% of our water comes from snowpack, that number is closer to 80% for southwestern Utah because of the fact that those storms can be pretty significant in that area, and there's a larger percentage of winter precipitation that comes as rain as well. So it is good to contextualize. Most of the rest of the state, the monsoon helps a little bit, but again, 95% or so of the actual water supply comes from that snowpack. But it's just a little bit of a boost that we get during the summer months. And I'm going to defer to meteorologists for a more scientific explanation of, why it happens and what might cause it to not happen versus, other years when it does.
I'm curious, Jordan, if the numbers that we're seeing in Utah are comparable to our neighboring western states.
Yeah, they are. Although, when you think about the drought situation that Utah is experiencing, we may be the worst off. I'd have to look a little bit more carefully to see if we are absolutely the worst, or if others,
if it's debatable,
kind of a worse. And it's kind of a no-win argument anyway. But we have 90% of our state in extreme to exceptional drought, which are the two worst drought categories. There's, of course, drought throughout the state, but not for the other 10% of the state, it's not extreme or exceptional. When you combine the drought conditions with the anticipated runoff conditions, that's not improving things anyway. So we're hurting at this point. Nevada's hurting. I know. I think for Nevada, it's something like 90% of the state is also in the top three levels of drought, if not, maybe quite as bad as we are. It's still pretty severe. And so we're concerned about their situation as well.
Yeah, and in the last few minutes, we can kind of take this down the road. What are the consequences of a drought and even droughtier type of season?
Technical term.
New word. There's biological impacts associated with that, right? Nell, you may experience biological impacts at the preserve. The wetland gets less water.
Absolutely.
And that has biological, ecological impacts associated with it. Mm-hmm. Of course, there is fire season. And so the risk of fires are even greater because that really dry soil conditions and the trees that are quote unquote drier, let's say. So fire, potential for fire and fire risk goes up. Farmers, the agricultural industry, the ranchers have less water for their crops and for their animals. So there is a huge impact, biological, ecological, economic, that is associated with less snowpack. This state starts with snowpack for its survival in many ways.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. I would just add a couple of details. One is that regarding the fire hazard, we're, in addition to the dry soils, unfortunately, I wish I could be telling better news here, but in addition to the dry soils, we're seeing soil temperatures that are already anomalously high for this time of year. And that's not a good sign for our fire hazard, for our fire community. We don't like to see, you know, warm, dry soils, particularly this time of year. Where we're most concerned about those really large fires is up in the mountains. You know, hopefully the lack of spring precipitation will diminish some of the other challenges, like cheatgrass has not been quite as bad this spring, but up in the mountains, you know, that those warm, dry soils are really going to be a problem. And then you already said it, the irrigation community and the agricultural community is going to be impacted by these lower reservoir conditions. Obviously, everyone that's using water, I think there's going to be, I would assume we're going to have some statewide or local mandates about how we use water in municipalities and elsewhere, and so that'll be impactful as well. And so, you know, what we start to see when water becomes very scarce, like in years like this, is the prior appropriation system kicks in in a bigger way, and we see those senior water rights really become more important. And I would assume that's going to be a big factor this year.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll definitely, I'm sure, be tracking that here in Summit County and in Stagyville Basin, and keeping an eye on streams that may not persist through the summer and stream right. drying. Jordan, there's one other sort of metric that you guys use in your report that caught my eye, and I don't know that we've talked about it before. It's the Surface Water Supply Index. And here in Summit County, obviously we're largely in the Weber River Basin, and we are listed, this is like a percentile, right? Like out of 100, and we're at 5%. Can you explain a little bit about like what the Surface Water Supply Index is and what that really low number means?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for asking about that. The Surface Water Supply Index is a pretty useful number that allows us to assess how much surface water supplies, you know, in other words, how much water we're going to have in our reservoir system and available in our streams during that April through July period. And so what the number is it's a combination of the volume of water that we're anticipating coming, you know, in those local area streams combined with what's currently available in the reservoirs. And so it adds one volume to another to get a total picture for how much, again, surface water we're going to have available during the summertime. And then we contextualize it against what we've seen in the past, against the previous 30 years and beyond. And so you're right that there's, the Weber is one of the ones that really stands out as having a very low surface water supply index right now. In fact, more than half of the basins that we report on in the state of Utah are in the bottom 10th percentile in terms of their surface water supply outlook right now, based on those, again, two parameters, the forecast and the current storage in the reservoir system. Anything less than the 50th percentile is below average, and everything less than the 10th percentile is alarmingly low. So we provide those numbers to be able to say, hey, water managers, you know, this is what we anticipate in terms of our supply. And we also add a few years that may have been similar from the past. And with those years in mind, hopefully that helps with the managing of the supply that we'll have. But yeah, the Weber, the Little Bear, the Black's Fork, some of the areas that are draining the Wasatch Plateau, the Beaver, the Virgin, those are all less than the 10th percentile in terms of their surface water supply index. And this is, again, why our report was so dire, is we're trying to really convey the seriousness of this situation.
You mentioned water managers, and I'm curious if they're sort of like the intended recipient of these reports. You know, when you create these reports, is that who you have in mind?
It is, although they're meant to be accessible and useful for everyone. But yes, that is the intended audience.
Okay.
And we mentioned that May is the last report? For the year?
May is the last of our water supply outlook reports. We provide two reports each month in the spring, and then one of those reports carries on through the rest of the year. So the water supply outlook reports are the ones that use the forecast based on the snowpack. And yes, this is the last one for the year. We also provide a climate and water report, which is a little bit more of a current snapshot of what we're seeing in the streams, reservoirs, and soil moisture. So it's got some overlap, but it doesn't assess the snowpack and look forward with forecasts the way that the other one does. And we will continue to provide the climate and water reports throughout the year.
All right, that's good, because I need more of this information.
That's right. In real-time updates.
Yeah.
No, we need to hear more about this. I mean, this is critical stuff, and we all play a role at the end of the day. We all play a role in consuming this water in one form or another, and so we all have an opportunity to help conserve our water and manage the potential consequences associated with overuse, etc. So, Jordan, once again, the website for people to go to get a copy of this great report.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a long link, but I'll just say if you type into your favorite search engine, Utah Snow Survey, it'll take you there. And there's links to the reports. There's links to all kinds of maps and useful products there.
Fantastic. Well, Jordan, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I always appreciate your questions. These are nice interviews.
Well, we're looking forward to next time. That was Jordan.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you. That was Jordan Clayton. He's the supervisor and data collection officer with the Utah Snow Survey, part of the NRCS here in Utah.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of This Green Earth.
And if you did, we hope you'll take a minute to rate us, share us, and leave a comment.
You can email us your thoughts and ideas for future shows at thisgreenearth@kpcw.org.
Join us next week on This Green Earth.